Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Manifest. Wait a minute. If you have a pet, this is Mona Ellis, the wife of Charlie Ellis, our office director.
Hi.
How long have we known you? 30?
30 years.
30. We know Charlie 35. And Charlie's behind the, he's in the studio directing things. Can animals sense the spirit world? Now, I'm going to share this real quick because Mona and I, if we get to talking, we'll be talking. You won't hear the teaching.
Surprise.
But she has a dog named Lucy.
That's right.
And named after Lucille Ball, by the way, by their daughter, Isabella. So I said, do you have any dog stories that are real interesting? And she said, yes, I do. Said, Lucy is very hyper, and there's another dog that sometimes gets with her, and they're just all over the place. You can't calm them down. You can't stop them. And one day, Isabella was babysitting, and both dogs went to the door that was closed and just sat there looking at the door. And Isabella said, what in the world is going on? So Isabella moved them back, opened the door, and they sat in the doorway and just looked out there and would not move. And just they saw something. And there was nobody there, right?
Nobody there. Nobody was home.
And they had gone through some warfare and actually seen some things in the house. And Isabella, their daughter, she's not a little girl. She's how old? 20?
Going to be 20.
20.
And
she said, Mom, I really believe God had sent an angel. And they were able to see it. So I wanted you to see. Everybody's going to think this is my dog. No, Pam will not let me have a dog. I've tried. And I got three grandbabies and they want a puppy. And I guarantee you, Nana will have to give in one day. So if you're watching this, Pam, you'll have to give in. There's no chance.
Hey, Lucy.
Thank you, Lucy. Thank you. She's still sniffing me. Mona, thank you for bringing Lucy by. All right, let's talk about this subject now. Can animals sense the spirit world? There are 89 million dogs estimated in America, 58 million cats in the United States. So people love their pets, and God gave animals, what we call domestic animals, to comfort people, to give people joy. A pet loves you unconditionally. And I think most of you know that because we had dogs growing up and birds and cats and every other kind of animal, hamsters and frogs. You know, when you have kids, you have all that. But if you go back to the Garden of Eden, we know this, that God created all animals, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, the sea creatures, and that's in chapter 1 and 2 of the book of Genesis. Now, when God created Adam, who was the first man on earth, Genesis chapter 2:20 says that Adam named the animals. And, of course, Adam was alone when he did this. Now, think about that for just a moment, how many species or different types of animals exist on the planet. So the original name was given by Adam for every animal. And, of course, it implies that animals kept Adam busy, and there was something connected. I'm going to talk about something very strange in a moment, connected with the animal kingdom, with the first man. So Adam was alone, so God made him a helpmate, which was woman. And so that's the story of the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, the trees of the garden, the fruit of the garden. Eden was a garden, and the animals were created. Now, there's one creature which is called a beast of the field, which was different than any other creature that the Lord had made. And I want to talk about that creature for just a moment. And that creature was the serpent. Now, the Bible says in Genesis 3:1 that the serpent was more subtle, or the Hebrew word there is craftier than all other creatures that the Lord had made. Now, when you look at the Genesis 3 narrative, you see the serpent in the garden at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, tempting Eve to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, most scholars who are liberal, on the liberal side, they don't take the Bible literal, say this is a myth, this is a legend, this is a metaphor, etc., etc. But we have to ask ourselves, could the animal kingdom at one time communicate with men? Here's what the Jewish historian Josephus wrote about the serpent in the garden. Quote, all of the living creatures had one language. The serpent had an envious disposition. He, God, also deprived the serpent of speech out of the indignation of his malicious disposition toward Adam. Besides this, he, speaking of God, inserted poison under his tongue and made him an envy of men. And that's in Josephus, Antiquities of the Jews, book 1 and section 4. So this is a Jewish historian that had records to information, you know, almost 2,000 years ago that perhaps we do not have today, who indicates that it was handed down that the animal kingdom, just as man in the beginning, read in your Bible, had one language until the time of the Tower of Babel, the animal kingdom had one language, which implies that they could communicate one to another. Now, just as God divided the languages at the tower in Genesis chapter 11:1, and he confused the languages of men. I cannot go into China and speak Chinese or the Indonesian language. I have to have an interpreter. But men used to all speak one language. Now, what does that have to do with the animal kingdom? Now, I want you to think about this. I'm trying to be funny or humorous here, but it's really true. Every animal communicates to its own kind. Every dog barks, and when they bark, they seem to know what they're saying to each other. They're not just making a sound. Cats meow, and when they meow, they seem to know or somehow indicate what the other cat is implying or saying. Now, I'm not trying to be strange, but watch them. Why are they doing that? Are they just making a sound to say I'm a cat or a bark, say, hey, a dog's coming? They have certain sounds, certain types of barks, certain body language that the animal that they are connected with knows what they're saying. Well, Brother Stone, you know animals can't talk. I don't believe that. Really? You don't have an African gray. I have an African gray, by the way, whose name is Lucy. That was my grandmother's name. We didn't name her after my grandmother, but we named her Lucy. And Lucy can sound like my voice, Pam's voice, Jonathan's voice, Amanda's voice. She does. She makes phone sounds like your cell phone is ringing. A dog started barking in the neighborhood behind us, and Lucy started barking one day. And I mean, when I pray, this is funny, I pray sometimes in the spirit. Some of you may not know what that means. We're not going to teach on that, but those of you that know. And Lucy, I'll start praying in my room, and Lucy starts imitating my prayers. So it's interesting that certain birds have communication. How come men can tell a dog sit and it sits, but you're saying it, you're not barking at it, you're saying it because they can be trained to obey commands with the voice. So what I'm trying to say is, the human is the only one that can imitate every animal. You can sound like, whoop, please don't laugh at me, whoop, whoop, meow, meow, you know, pig. You know, I have to do that for my grandbabies, make all these animal sounds. So you can make the sound of almost any animal, you know, whatever. You can sound like an animal. We can make the sounds. However, each animal communicates to its own. Now, that leads us to the idea of this. Can the animal kingdom, because the animal kingdom did not actually sin, all right, as far as the animals themselves, the serpent beguiled Eve. The serpent was cursed to the ground, but God did not curse all the other animals. He cursed the serpent to its belly, but it didn't say, cursed be the animal kingdom. So the animal kingdom itself is not under the same type of curse, although animals do turn against each other, and some would say that's a part of the curse. You know, the lion will eat that, and this one will eat this one, and that one will eat that one, and it wasn't that way in the beginning. But let me talk to you about this for a moment. Angels in heaven are called beast in the King James translation of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. And the word beast in the Greek in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, mentioned 15 times, in those references in Revelation, is actually a living creature. To be more specific, it's the description of a cherub if you read the book of Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10. These are angels that have four faces, the head of a man, an ox, a lion, and an eagle. And the man has dominion over the earth. The lion is the king of the beast of the king of the beast. The ox is the king of the working animals, and the eagle is the king of the air. Now, this is an angel, but this angel, the lion head says, holy, holy is the Lord. The ox says, holy, holy is the Lord. The eagle says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Can't explain that, but they speak, but yet they're angels, but they have the appearance of the animal kingdom. So let's get into this right now from a very, very interesting story. In the Old Testament, now this goes back to, can animals sense the spirit world? In the Old Testament, there was a man by the name of Balak who was the king of Moab. This is all in the book of Numbers. And the king of Moab saw Israel camped in the valley, and he sent for a seer, a prophet, by the name of Balaam, who literally had authority with his words to bless or to curse. And he said to Balaam, I want you to go on top of the mountain and put a curse on these people. Well, God didn't want Balaam to go, but anyway, Balaam went up there, and as you know the story, he tried to curse, couldn't curse. He tried to curse again and couldn't curse. He tried to curse and ended up blessing. And finally, Balaam told Balak, he said, you cannot curse what the Lord has blessed. Very interesting statement there. Now, I want you to pay attention to when Balaam is trying to curse Israel or going to curse them. He's disobeying the Lord and God is angry. And if you've never heard this verse or seen this verse in the Bible, this is a very interesting verse. Now, I'm going to read this to you right now. Then God's anger was aroused because he went. This is Balaam. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey. So get the picture. Balaam is on a donkey. He's riding the donkey, headed to, in the direction to do what Balak wants him to do. And his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey and to turn her back unto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. When the donkey saw the angel, sees it again, female donkey, she pushed herself against the wall, crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. The angel of the Lord went further, stood in a narrow place, and there was no way to turn right or the left. The donkey, third time now, saw the angel of the Lord. She laid down under Balaam, Balaam's anchor around, so he struck the donkey with his staff. Now, here's what's interesting. The donkey's mouth was open and began to rebuke Balaam. So we got two really strange things going on here. Now, listen, when the plain sense of the scripture makes sense, seek no other sense. In other words, if it says that this donkey talked, it was a supernatural act of God, okay? And so God allowed this to happen to rebuke the prophet. He wouldn't listen to God. So God opened the mouth. The Bible calls it in the King James a dumb ass or a dumb donkey to rebuke him. But here's the point. Three times this, what some would call a dumb animal, a donkey, saw the angel of God. Three different times. And when he saw the angel, there was a specific reaction because the angel had a sword in his hand. And then the mouth of the donkey is open. Now, we go back to what Josephus said, that at one time, the animal kingdom all spoke with one language, how the serpent had a voice, that when Adam and Eve sinned, God took all ability from the serpent and put poison in its mouth. And you know, there are poisonous snakes. If they bite you, will kill you. And it now has no form of communication. Now, these are mysteries. I understand that. But I'm trying to give you the plain sense of the scripture to help you understand something here. So it is possible. Now watch this. Why do we not see angels? Can I tell you, what if you were driving and saw an angel in the road? You wrecked the car. What if you were in the middle of the night, woke up, and there's this huge angel? Everybody in the Bible that saw one, you know, he passed out, fainted, fell out on their face, or fear came on them. So God holds back from us many times the ability of seeing an actual angel of the Lord. But yet I absolutely 100% believe that an angel of God can be seen. And I think even at times demonic powers can either be sensed by animals or seen. You know, because there's times an animal will just run through a house. There's no noise outside, nobody outside. You're in the middle of nowhere. And they just start, you can tell that something is agitating them, but you see absolutely nothing. Well, someone said, well, it may have been a mouse, or it may have been the smell of a cat, or it might have been another dog. I understand that, and probably many times it is something of that nature. But I want you to think about what the animal kingdom is able to sense. When an earthquake is about to happen, right before it happens, a dog senses it, and everybody that owns a dog that's ever been in an earthquake area and experienced one said, my dog just began to go crazy. Something was wrong. Rats began to act strange. Snakes began to act strange. Weasels, days before an earthquake, weasels start doing something very strange. Now, here's something. The old timers that lived in the woods and in rural areas knew a lot about the deer. They knew a lot about how bad winter would be by the number of acorns that fell on the ground. They knew how bad the wind would be because of the thick skin on, and I keep doing this, I apologize, because there's a hair in my eye that's kind of agitating me. But when there's a tsunami, Indonesia said this, you know, that elephants were heading into the mountains right before the tsunami struck. I mean, some time before. So animals have a keen sense, and there are people that study animals that can go into more detail of how this is possible or why they think this is possible. And volcanoes are the same way. Even before there's an actual eruption or a rumbling in the earth that can be felt, birds begin to leave the area. They begin to get very high. Goats in Italy become super anxious before there's ever a volcanic eruption. So animals have a sense that God gave them. I mean, every animal created, in my opinion, has some kind of a sense that God gave them where two things, they're sensitive in, some people, you know, talk about dolphins and some of these other sea creatures have sonar and, you know, some kind of a built-in sonar in them. Very possible, very likely. But God gave them the instinct ability that if we pay attention, we will know something's about to happen. And sometimes if we pay attention, we will understand that something's happening in the spirit world. So God doesn't let us see it, but it's possible he allows the animals to see the different things. Now, I do know this, that an animal will react differently to an angel than an evil spirit. Many times, if an angel is present, just like Mona said, her dog and another dog did, that's very hyper, they sat at the door and just did nothing. They didn't look at each other. They just sat at the door. They didn't bark. The door is open. They still sit at the door, and they're just staring at something. So an angel brings peace. An evil spirit brings a very negative energy, a very cold presence if an evil spirit is present. And sometimes an animal, especially a dog, will go absolutely bonkers and just bark at absolutely nothing and go crazy and run back and forth. And I've noticed some situations like that. And I would tell people, I said, if there's something there and you begin to sense as a spirit-filled person, there's evil here, rebuke it in the name of the Lord and command it to leave, because the spirit world is subject to the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, there was a dog that was in a yard. And there was a little boy kind of just that the mother had sat down, and she turned to go to the patio to get something. There's nothing out there. And the dog had grabbed the boy by the shirt and was dragging it. Well, the mother got very upset and started hitting the dog, and the dog wouldn't let go. And finally, she forced it to let go. She was very, very angry with the dog. And finally, she realized that a snake, and this happened to be a poisonous snake, had crawled through the yard and was headed to the boy. The dog knew to protect that boy from the snake. And then there is a cat, and his cat's name is Oscar. And you can read about this on the internet, because I thought this was a very, very interesting story. This cat is a cat that is in a nursing home here in the United States. And I don't know if Oscar's still living or not. This is an older report, but it was on national, I think, well, it was on local news, let me say that. And I saw it sometime back. Oscar has the ability as a cat to know when a person is about to die. Now, you can look at them and you know they're sick, but you can't look at them and say they're going to die within 24 hours. And or they're right near death's door. But Oscar will go in and let people pet the cat, will let someone pet it, and then Oscar will leave, and Oscar will go, and then Oscar will sit. But when a person is going to die within, I think they said it was 24 hours, Oscar goes, gets on the bed, all right, gets on the bed and stays with that person, and then that person eventually passes away. Now listen to what's strange. Oscar never missed 30 people in a row that Oscar went and laid on the bed and just laid there right about the time the person was dying or when they were right before they passed away. Now, how does that happen? Now, there are skeptics who don't believe in God, or they don't believe that God created anything. And they're going to give some kind of secular explanation, something that's real deep. And, you know, you don't know what they're talking about. I just simply believe that God created the animal kingdom, if you go into the book of Genesis, to be a comfort to Adam and to be a companions to Adam and Eve in the garden. I believe there was a communication that just like in Genesis chapter 11, when men were all one language, God came down and confounded their language. And when he confounded their language, they had no ability to speak with anyone outside of the person who could speak their language. It was a very supernatural thing. According to Josephus, the animal kingdom had one language. And if you didn't see when I said that, you need to go back and watch the program again. In fact, watch it over and over. Get the nuggets out of here. And that when the serpent beguiled Eve, it could speak and communicate, and God took speech from its mouth. So it is possible. Let's go back. I know that they've got me on a close-up here, but the title of the message is this: Can animals sense the spirit world? Can animals sense the spirit world? What is my answer? Yes. I do not believe that every time a cat goes crazy through the house, or a dog just sits and stares, or dogs start barking for no reason, I don't necessarily believe something spiritual is in the house. But here's the key. I believe that you will be able to sense what they are picking up. Now, they may not be able to say, roo, 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 that's an angel, roo, 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 that's a demon, but they're seeing something, because just as Balaam's donkey's eyes were opened three times to the angel of the Lord, and it did not want to go past the angel, the same thing I believe can happen from time to time. Now, what I don't want you to do is get hyper every time your dog starts barking. Oh my goodness, something's in the house. But just pay attention, because you will be able to sense the presence of the Lord, something very peaceful, or sometimes you'll be able to sense a confusion or a dark presence or a lack of peace. And that's how you have to deal with it. You then, through the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, have to deal with it by speaking the word. Satan, I rebuke you. Evil spirits, I charge you to get out of my house in Jesus' name. And if you ever feel a peaceful presence, let me tell you what to do, because this has happened to me maybe 10 occasions in my life, where the Lord stepped into where I was and I was literally overwhelmed by a presence. And I knew that many times it may have been an angel of God that God sent, because the Holy Spirit's presence is inward. An angel is outward. I taught you that in a few programs back. And so the best thing to do is sit still and soak in the peace of God and worship the Lord. We don't worship angels. We worship the Lord who sends angels to assist us according to Scripture. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the teaching. Here's what I'd like for you to do. There's no comments on my YouTube channel, but if you'd like to comment, if you have an animal story, you can go on our Facebook page where we post this program, and please don't write up 1,000 words, but give us a brief story of an animal you have that has had something supernatural that you believe was the presence and it discerned that. I think people would enjoy reading that. And I love pets, and I know you do too, and the older you get, you really love them, if you know what I'm saying. Now, I have a very unique book that I want to make available to you. I've got something that I've got to get in your hands, two of the most unique resources I've had in a couple years. So watch this, and I'll be back.
It's time to learn what you don't know about your future. Now available is Perry Stone's new landmark prophetic book, Your Journey into Eternity, Life for the Next 1,000 Years. Discover what occurs the moment your inner eyes are opened at death and your spirit returns to God. Journey through the 3 levels of heaven, including paradise, where Christian martyrs rest. Learn about the new body you will receive at Christ's return or at the resurrection, and why the dead at times appear in dreams, and what memories you have after death. Learn about the marriage supper in heaven from a Hebraic perspective, and what the Bible teaches about the new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem coming down. Perry unlocks the mystery of babies in heaven, including miscarried and aborted infants. Perry also explains what our 1,000-year reign with Christ will look like on earth. Read Perry's parabolic revelation about what if God said yes to the dead? Will your family circle be unbroken in eternity? Perry presents often untaught insights using his 46 years of in-depth biblical research from the Old and New Testaments. The book includes incredible Greek and Hebrew word studies, as well as amazing stories that reveal secrets of life after death, events in heaven, and life on the new earth. Perry is also including an audio teaching, The Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testimony, that his friends say is the most interesting biblical teaching from the book of Revelation he has ever taught. In this teaching, Perry shares secrets in heaven's temple, the most important building in heaven, where all human records and tribulation judgment files are kept. It is here where you will stand at the judgment seat before Christ's throne and give a face-to-face account of what the angels have written about you, from birth to death, including all your idle words and how you treated others. This is a teaching that will alert you to what you say and cause you to guard your words and actions. The landmark new book and 2-hour audio teaching is available for your gift of just $35 or more to help keep Manifest on the air around the world. To order this offer, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. You can also order by sending $35 to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer ET143 when ordering. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
One of the things that really amazes me is that having preached for now going on 47 years is the amount of fresh insight that I still gain from reading the Bible and seeing passages that I never put this verse with this verse. I didn't know that that Greek word matched that word or the Hebrew word or the history behind something. And this is one of the reasons I have written over 100 books. And this book that you're about to get, Journey into Eternity, actually will cover from the moment of death or the moment of the coming of the Lord all the way to the time when the new Jerusalem comes down on the earth. I've never done this before to my knowledge in the history of the ministry. Get the book, but the two audio CD is, in my opinion, because the more I went back to this thing and I said, this is absolutely amazing how that after all these years, why didn't I see this? Why didn't that verse jump out at me? This is the most interesting, I promise you, it is one of the most interesting two-hour teachings you will ever hear. I will not teach it on television because, first of all, when you do television, you got to take a break, 22 minutes, whatever, 23, and people miss it. Get this and listen to it. All right, let me tell you where I'm going to be coming to. We're going to be coming to the Bahamas Thursday, July 22nd through the 25th at Coopertown, Abaco, Bahamas, the Church of God, June 27th in Freeport, Bahamas. And then we're going to come to the Crow Nations camp meeting. And this is going to be great. So all of you in Montana, this is a great opportunity for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning for you to join me at a meeting. Then we're going to come to Evangel Prayer Center for our big conference Thursday through Sunday night in July 20th through the 23rd. Trinity Christian Center there in Saldanha, Alaska, July the 20th through the 3rd. That's a Sunday through Thursday, I believe, somewhere around there. King's Chapel there in Wasilla, Alaska, Sunday through Wednesday, the 6th through the 9th. Family Faith Center, that's in August, by the way. I'm going through these fast. Family Faith Church in Willis on the 18th and 19th. That's a Friday and Saturday in Willis, Texas. And we always go Sunday, the entire day there at Huntsville, Texas at the church. That's on August the 20th. Christ Temple, there it is, Huntington, West Virginia, August the 25th, 26th, 27th, Friday through Sunday. And then we're going to also be coming to the Morris Sorella Legacy Feast of Tabernacles celebration on September 28th. And let me just mention this. The main event is the next big event coming on in Cleveland, Tennessee in the month of October. I need you to get ready to register for that. This is a great camp meeting. I call it the granddaddy of all camp meetings. This has been going on since the 1980s. Now we're having it at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. It is going to be a great time in the Lord. Any information you want, perrystone.org. Go to our website and also follow us on Perry Stone Ministries. It has to say that Facebook page for all of our updates, okay? And thank you for joining me today, and God bless you and keep you.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2023 Israel tour. The dates are November 19th through the 28th. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.